Hi, everybody. I'm Terry. I'm a grateful, recovered alcoholic, drug addict, food addict, codependent.
Hi, Terry.
Oh, boy, that's a mouthful. I've done this work as it's outlined in the big book with the help of three big book step study sponsors and a higher power. I've made some amends, have a few more to make, and I do my best to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. So, Happy New Year, everybody. I'm grateful to see everybody, and so grateful to be here. And to share my experience on this step. And, you know, every time I say this, I always think of Ethel, so I'm going to quote Ethel because this is one of my favorite parts of the big book. You know, she's always saying that no matter what step we're on, this is one of my favorite steps of the big book. But this really, this is why I actually signed up for to share my experience on this. You know, step one is, you know, admitted that we're powerless. And the second part of step one is unmanageability. And I love how Bill and his higher power, it took them 15 pages to really get to the bottom line, which was my defense must come from a higher power. Because he's starting to build a case for step two, is now I have to, you know, come to believe and then make a decision to turn my will over. So he talks a lot about, you know, all these things from the very beginning. And my experience was, you know, I came into the program of AA. I was a drug addict, alcoholic. I was in a very toxic, very codependent relationship. And I was able to string some sobriety together with not drugs and alcohol, but I could not get away from the man. And it kept bringing me out, and I was powerless. And so it was suggested that I stay away from him and thus these relationships one day at a time, just like a drink or a drug. And I had to concede, it talks about on the first page about, you know, conceding to our innermost selves that I was a real alcoholic. And I really got that in my alcoholism and my drug addiction. So when I was 3.5 years sober, I thought I could be in a relationship like other people. And I jumped into another relationship in sobriety, and it was a train wreck. And it brought me to a whole nother level of pain, and it was incomprehensible demoralization, and it brought me into the rooms of Big Book Step Study. And I had to be willing to do this work, and so all my whole book and this whole section, and this is what I love about how this book is laid out, is that really I could take alcohol and substitute just about any word, and this still brings me to the spiritual solution. And so everywhere that there was alcohol for me in this chapter, I was either codependency, relationships, love addiction in some form. And for example, you know, no person likes to think that he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it's not surprising that my relationships had been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove that I could be in relationships like other people. Well, I could not be in relationships like other people. I couldn't have intimate partnerships like other people. I couldn't have a work life like other people. I couldn't have relationships with my children like other people because I did not know how to have true partnerships with other human beings. And the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue into the gates of insanity or death. Well, for me, codependency was going to take me out. It was going to take me out. If I didn't do this work and didn't come to Big Book, I'm convinced I would have picked up a drink or a drug or something that would have killed me because the pain that I was experiencing was tremendous. It talks about, you know, and in the first step, this is our first step in recovery, is admitting that I could no longer do that, and the delusion that I was like other people had to be smashed. Now, I knew my drinking wasn't like other people, and my drug addiction wasn't like other people, but it took me a long time to really identify that me being in partnership with other human beings wasn't like other people. So I had this delusion, and, you know, delusion, the definition for delusion is when presented with the facts, you know, I would choose to believe otherwise. So people would come to me and say, hey, here's what's going on, and this is what I don't like about what you're doing in this relationship that we're having, friend. But I would choose to be in delusion and believe otherwise. You know, that this was, it's a progressive illness. So over any considerable period of time, it gets worse and never better. So on the second page, on page 31, you know, it really starts talking about all the different ways that, you know, I could fool myself and go into every form of self-deception. and experimentation. And so I love the section where it talks about, you know, all the different ways that we try to control our drinking. Well, my sponsor told me to do this. She said, I want you to write down in that exact same paragraph form all the different ways you would try to control people in your life and try to control the relationships that you have in your life. So I'm going to read this to you because it's pretty telling for me. It says, below are ways I've tried to control my relationships. By controlling, being loving, being angry, criticizing, stomping away, isolating, gossiping with others, not speaking to you, being sexual, people-pleasing, agreeing with you when I didn't, drinking to get attention, doing things when I didn't want to, constant striving for material success, buying you things, taking them away, manipulating, telling you what to do, crying, the list goes on ad infinitum. Okay? You know, and so my sponsor, it was Irish. She said, I don't like to pronounce any individual as codependent, but, you know, you can see by the list here, you know, that the behaviors that you're doing aren't really, you know, try to be in a relationship and stop abruptly and see what happens there. So, you know, what I identified for myself was, you know, that, you know, my life was unmanageable because I couldn't get along with people. You know, I was in so much fear and anxiety all the time. And so, you know, this part of the step two, part one, it starts talking about and keeps giving me more and more information about unless I have a spiritual solution, unless I'm willing to do something to deal with my own fear and inadequacies, then my life is going to continue to be unmanageable. And, you know, what happened for me is on the bottom of page 32, it says, you know, then Terry fell victim to the belief, which practically every codependent has, that my long period of sobriety, 3.5 years sober, and self-discipline, you know, my sponsor told me, she said, you know, it's suggested in AA that you stay out of a relationship for 12 months, but for you, I think it needs to be 24, you know. So I went almost 3 years out of relationship, you know, but and I really thought I can be in relationship like other people, that my long period of sobriety and stuff had qualified me to be in relationship like other people. And it was a disaster. In 2 months, it was more like 4 months, I could have been hospitalized. I probably broke 3 cell phones. And, you know, and then I kept getting into more and more pain. And so then I had to be willing. On page 33, it talks about, and it keeps giving me more and more lessons about being in these relationships that, you know, I had believed because of this long stretch of sobriety that I could continue to manage my life and manage these relationships well. And I love when it says, commencing to be in relationship after periods of where we're in short time as bad as ever. If we're planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind or lurking notion. And lurking, you know, the definition, when we look up definitions, you know, lurking, hiding in the shadows, you know, I had this hiding in the shadows stuff because I was always manipulating and trying to get my needs met because I was in so much chronic fear all the time. You couldn't prove to me enough that you loved me. You couldn't prove to me that I was worthy. You couldn't prove to me enough that I was important. I would ask you for one thing and then you would give it to me. And then I would say, but I also need this. And then I need this. And then I need this. And so, you know, I was constantly reaching outward as opposed to going inward. So, you know, the case is going to be building and building for me that unless I'm willing to get outside of myself and have this relationship with my higher power, that I'm going to continue to be in this state of chronic anxiety. So then we finally start getting to the point where we start mentioning about, you know, whether this is going to be a spiritual solution or a non-spiritual solution. On page 34, you know, in the second paragraph, it talks about, you know, for those who are unable, and I put to be in relationships, the question is, you know, not the question is how to stop altogether. It says whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will, you know, be in a successful relationship or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. And this wasn't just for my intimate relationships with men. This was with my children. I mean, I would say, okay, I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to yell at them today. I'm going to walk in, and my sponsor would say, pray in the car. You know, pray at the front door. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to yell. And then as soon as I walked in, I was powerless. I mean, I was just acting out. I won't say it. I'm not going to send that text. I'm not going to send it. I'm not going to send. You know, I had the tremendous urge not to want to do it, but I could not. I was powerless over this. And talking about, this is the baffling feature as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity, the inability. And I would tell my sponsor, I'm like, why did I do this? Why did I do it again? I did it again. You know, I yelled at them again. I didn't really want to do that. Why did I do that? Or I called him again, and, you know, we were just going to meet for coffee. And then, you know, it was just, you know, off to the races again. It talks on page 35 about, you know, what sort of thinking dominates, that we do this, you know, time and time and time again. And then, you know, we start getting the examples of Jim and Fred. And I could really relate to Jim's story when he talks about, you know, all went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And that was my experience. You know, I had gotten to a point where I had a relationship with my higher power, and I had developed enough spiritual life to not pick up a drink or a drug for over 3 years, but I had stopped there. And I had not continued to enlarge my spiritual life. And my sponsor came into the rooms of Big Book Step Study, and she went through the process, and I saw a tremendous shift in her, and really more so a tremendous shift in our relationship and how she was engaging with me. And I came to meetings, and I was like listening, and I was like, oh my God, this is so addict-like. They're so control freakish here. You know, they won't let you share, and you know, everybody's like, they're so like disciplined, and you know, that was certainly not in my wheelhouse at the time. And you know, when they talked about, or when Jim talks about in the story about, you know, all the self-reliance that he got, you know, I remember I felt irritated. I had to be a salesman. I had a few words with the boss. I decided to drive. I felt hungry. I stopped at the roadside. I had no intention of drinking. And I counted them. And there were 18 I's in just that one paragraph, which talks about how self-reliant I was, because I could relate that, because every time you would ask me what had happened, it would be about I. Well, this was going on for me. I that. So, you know, I could really identify with the stories in here, and how, you know, Jim really rationalized this, because I'm like, well, you'd be mad too if, you know, you had asked them 15 times to clean up their room, you know, and they didn't do it. You know, you would be upset too. And you know, I really love the next part on page 37 where they talk about this, you know, do we think this is an extreme case? And, you know, no, for me, it wasn't extreme. You know, there was always that curious mental phenomenon that paralleled with sound reasoning. There invariably ran some trivial excuse. You know, I knew the guy wasn't good for me. I knew I shouldn't be with him, but I'd be sitting there on a beautiful sunny day going, you know, I mean, I wonder if he wants to meet me up at the Starbucks. You know, I mean, some random excuse, and I would set the ball rolling. You know, it talks about invariably we find that at some point in the past, you know, we do something, we put ourselves in a position to be hurt. And that was my justification. But, you know, it talks about even in this type of beginning, we're obliged to admit that our justification for that phone call was insanely insufficient in light of what always happened for me, you know, and I would set the ball rolling. On page 38, and it talks about, you know, this is such, I mean, there's so much in this chapter. Oh, is that 14 minutes that, yeah, I've talked? Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, so, wow. On page 38, it says on, You may think these illustrations too ridiculous, whether it's the jaywalking illustration or putting whiskey in the mail, but I really related to these stories because I could totally substitute, well, yeah, I certainly can do that. However intelligent I might have been in other respects, where relationships had been concerned, I was strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? I mean, people would always say to me, God, you're so smart. Why did you pick that guy? You know, or why did you do that? You know, and I wouldn't be able to give an answer. I wouldn't really be able to share with them, you know, why I was doing what I was doing. So I know I'm getting close to time here, but I want to fast forward a little bit because I really love the, you know, as we get through the stories and we talk about the, we start getting to the spiritual solution, which is the greatest gift that I got through doing the process of Big Book Step Study was a relationship with my higher power. And it talks about, they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. That was not easy, but the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my relationship conditions were relieved, as in fact it had proved to be. And when I had made the decision that after coming to some meetings that I was going to be willing to do the work and do the reading and the writing and go through this process, I did have a sense of relief. And through the process of the fourth step and the writing that we did, you know, I was able to identify lies I had told myself about all these situations and all these lifelong conceptions that I had had that were no longer serving me. Quite important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And it talks about, I've since been brought into a new way of living, infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful than life I had lived before. And then at the very end, it does talk about, this is when it says that, you know, my defense, you know, must come from a higher power. And, you know, and I guess in closing, the unmanageability that I can honestly say today that, you know, before I did not have the ability to have true partnerships with other human beings because I just didn't know what was wrong with me. I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew I was a drug addict. And I had stopped those things. So why could I not have these relationships, and why was I still struggling? And what this part of the book really taught me was that, you know, once I can turn it over and I can start coming to believe, as we go into step two, part one next week, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, that started setting the ball rolling and me being able to have a conscious contact with my higher power. So Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks so much for letting me share. And I have